His beloved Son, our Savior and our Lord. Relationship. And with relationship comes a second concept in this passage that we need to remember all through it. Presence. His presence is what makes all the difference for those who labor, who are weary, and who are heavy laden, and in particular who see within the Christian life or in the Lord's church, or if you want to say within the Christian system, something that is hard and something that is heavy and something that is burdensome. Oh, quite to the contrary. It is anything but that because of the great invitation. I want us to apply briefly this invitation in three areas based upon what he says in the text. I cannot imagine when the Lord has just talked about cities of unbelief, talking about there is his rest when it comes to the matter of salvation. Believe me. Believe in me. And there will be no weary for you to be weary, or no reason for you to be wearied and heavy laden when it comes to the matter of the salvation of your soul. If you take this expression, come unto me and I will give you rest, and you translate it in the most literal way that it can be translated, it would be this: I rest you. It's not I arrest you, but I rest you. It is not the kind of rest that is waiting for us at the end of life, even though that is very much promised in great passages like Revelation 14:13, and we will note that in a moment. It's talking about rest right now. It is not talking about not doing anything. It is talking about in a life that is absolutely full, as his was, that there is rest in the living of it. There is rest in the enjoyment of it. So if someone was dealing with the problem of guilt, the Lord says, I will remove the guilt, and we all have it. And the guilt, although washed away in the waters of baptism and the blood of Jesus, because of that, the guilt that is taken from us, we still struggle with it as his children because we still do things we shouldn't do and fail to do things that we should do. And so we continue to live with that problem. But whatever the burden is, the Lord says, I rest you. I give you my rest. What a picture that this is for us. It means that we cannot do enough to earn our salvation. We're promised that it is a gift from God by faith, the grace of God. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we're reminded of that. And so we don't have to worry about are we going to do enough. We could never do enough to earn or deserve our salvation. So there is rest in that. This rest frees us from burdens that would otherwise rob us of knowing the peace of God that passes understanding and the joy that Paul fills the book of Philippians with. In fact, 1 Peter 5, 7, Peter adds into the discussion when he says, cast all your cares, cast all your burdens upon him because he cares for you. It doesn't mean that our students must not prepare for their finals, and you and I must not constantly prepare for what it is that we have to do, but in that preparation, there is his rest. There is his presence because of our relationship. We rest in knowing that our souls are secure in Jesus. If life were to be taken from us today, our souls are secure if we are in Christ, if we are faithful in our relationship with him, if his presence is within us and around us and throughout us. 1 John 5:13, I've written these things unto you, my little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. He's talking about the security of the soul. We know that we are the children of God, 1 John 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God, as though John was trying to convince those that he had converted, somewhat like us. We still wonder, are we really? And the answer is yes, if we've been obedient to the beauty and simplicity and purity of the gospel message, and then to know that he provides a supply, an endless supply for our needs. That's promised at the end of Philippians 4 and verse 19. My God will supply all of your needs through Christ Jesus our Lord. The Lord says, come to me, I will rest you in your concerns, not only about life, but about your soul, that part of you that lives forever. Then there's rest and surrender. We're going to be surrendering to something in life. And the Lord talks here about yoke. Those who are not yoked to the Lord and who do not enjoy the yoke of the Lord's presence over their lives and through their lives and throughout their lives are yoked by something else. There's obviously sin, and there is Satan, and then really the problem with both of those is self. We give ourselves to ourselves rather than really giving ourselves to the Lord, and we surrender. And so, if we surrender to something other than the Lord, we're going to be in the power of even selfishness that will cost us our souls as much as anything. Presence. Our surrender is personal in the sense that it is to Him. He says, come to me because I am gentle. And that's the Savior I see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There is nothing about Him that we do not love about Him. Nothing. I am lowly in heart. That's where the idea of humility comes. I'm not going to put something on you that you cannot do, that you cannot bear, but also that you cannot enjoy in the process. I love that kind of Lord. Think of the way Pharaoh dealt with the Israelites back in the book of Exodus. You want to see a taskmaster? You go back and read that story. No wonder they spent their days and nights crying unto the Lord as to when He was going to fulfill His promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob about the land that would be promised to them and given to them. Take my yoke. Here is a team of oxen known as Billy and Roy. And if you will note, right here is the yoke. And by the way, these were not made on an assembly line. Do you realize that Jesus being raised as a carpenter and His father, earthly father, Joseph's carpenter shop, most of what they dealt with was not housing, but rather farming implements. And when there was a farmer who needed a yoke, this piece of timber right here, and here are the straps or the bows, and here are the pegs that hold them in place. Here's the hitch going back to the cart or to the plow or to whatever weight of burden that in and of themselves they would have had a little bit more difficulty with, but with the yoke resting comfortably, if you say, on their necks and before their shoulders, the pull of the weight was much easier. And once they learned to surrender to the demands of their master, the work was much easier. Now, getting back to the point of these being custom made, they were custom made by carpenters so that there would not be unnecessary irritation on the oxen if they did not fit. And so these yokes were custom made. for a team of oxen. And isn't there an implication there as well as is application for us when the Lord says, I'm not going to give you something that is too heavy. My yoke is easy. And really, it's not so much that the load is easy or that the weight is easy. I'm looking at people today who have borne a great deal of weight. And I'm not talking about the kind of weight that comes around holiday time. I'm not talking about that kind of weight. I'm talking about the weight of the world on their shoulders. The word easy is not without difficulty. It means my presence is going to make it pleasant. In other words, you can endure what it is that you have to endure because I'm going to make it pleasant. Now, there are going to be things to learn. Yoke also applied to a student that was under a teacher, in particular a master teacher. A student as an apprentice or as an intern would be yoked to that person. Our good friend Jason Deffenbaugh says that he does not remember this particular story. I think I've told it before. But some years ago, when Jason was a student working for our brother Sam Hester in Sam's print business and service, I overheard this conversation one day where Sam was trying to show Jason how to work a difficult machine, and it was a difficult machine. Not only that, it didn't want to cooperate at all. Sam got in position and put Jason right over his shoulder, says, get right here over my shoulder and watch how to operate this machine. Now that is what the Lord is telling us, and we think, well, think of all the great things the Lord did that we cannot do. He's not asking us to do the things that we can't do. He's asking us to do the things that we can do. Learn from me. Learn of me. Watch, listen, do. And it will be pleasant, not unpleasant. Now see, this is where the matter of belief comes in. This is where the matter of faith comes in. This is where the matter of desire comes in to follow this person and to believe in his plan and to believe in his program. So he is saying, if you will follow me, if you will learn from me, I can make promises to you that are absolutely guaranteed based upon the fact, as we know later, going to the cross and coming off the cross, going to the tomb and coming forth from the tomb and ascending back to the Father. I'm telling you, all of this is going to be true. You must believe. You must surrender. You must get away from the fact that you believe you're in charge of everything about your life and let me take charge and you do what I teach you. And that's going to lead us to heaven itself. And then lastly, there is rest and service. Again, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. You remember when the conference on circumcision happened in the heart of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 15? Gentiles were being baptized into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jews were having difficulty with that. There comes this big conclave that we have in Jerusalem where there are speakers, and they're trying to determine, are we going to have Gentiles to be physically circumcised so that they can become Jews before we make them Christian, before we make them... And the idea was ridiculous to people like Peter, who had been to the home of Cornelius. The idea was ridiculous to Paul, who had been on missionary journeys and had baptized a lot of Gentiles. Peter is the one who makes the statement in verse 10, we have placed upon our brethren a yoke that neither our fathers nor us could bear. Boy, what a powerful concept. It was one of the points that was made that convinced these Jewish traditionalists who were well-intentioned, no, we don't need to be performing the surgery of circumcision upon men who are baptized into Christ. Baptism is the new circumcision. And so they went forth from there, and history was made and has been since that time. We can have yokes on us from various places. The gospel is not one of them in the bad sense of that term. It is not something that neither our fathers nor us can bear. It is something that the Lord wants to be pleasant. And when it is applied to service in the church, this is one reason why we have the church. We are a worshiping people, as we say over and over and over again, but we are a working people. I don't know how many things are going to be done today in the name of the Lord through this church. I know we have the fruit biscuit preparation. Fruit biscuit, did I say? Fruit basket. Fruit basket. If any of you come up with one like that, I'll be happy to engage. All the fruit baskets that have been prepared by you and will be delivered today, I mean, that's going to make people's days for days to come. That's one thing. Our building is open tonight to our university students, and every night through, I believe, Tuesday, for study sessions with refreshments. You know, the building is something that needs to be used more than just, and it is, more than just Sundays and Wednesdays. Oh, we have to have a calendar around here to keep up with all the events and with all the activities that many of you do not know about, but it is really Sunday through Saturday. And that's exactly why that it's built. A worshiping and working facility. Serving. Serving the Lord, yes. Serving each other, absolutely. But serving those that we desperately want to know the Lord. Come to me. And so the idea is we work hard. We have been saved to serve, not to just sit around. We have been saved to work and to work hard. There is the yoke of Jesus, custom fit for us. He does not ask all of us to do the same thing, other than, of course, obey the same gospel and live the same gospel. But there are things uniquely designed for you to do. Why? Because you have the talent to do them. You have the ability to do them. You have the training to do them. Do them. And as someone has said, let's do all the good that we can to all the people we can for as long as we can, in as many ways as we can. And the Lord says, as you do those things, I will be with you. My presence and my power is with you, my strength, my comfort. It's because of the relationship that we enjoy. And what you will find both during the time of this service as well as at the end of your life is rest. I rest you. Now, for those who think that the gospel is too difficult, and it is impossible for the person who is bent on pleasing themselves, and this is my life, I can do with it whatever I want, I can live it any way that I want, no one has the right to tell me what to do, and every person has the right to make that choice, but you're going to be enslaved to someone, to something. It should be the Savior of the world. But to those who think, here's a great verse for you to remember. Underline it in your Bibles. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Who in the world wrote that by inspiration of God? None less than the Apostle John, who had been a member of the church, we know, for at least a half century, when the Lord called him to be a disciple first and then an apostle second. And he was faithful. And so in your life, there may be burdens. I know there are. Life is what it is. It's tough. And we never know when it may be tougher. It may be because of our guilt. It may be because of our grief. It may be because of our sin that has such a control over us that we are actually in an addiction. It may be because of our indifference as members of the body of Christ. It may be because that we are addicted to materialism. We may be involved in immorality. We may be actually be appearing to be faithful, but are anything but. And if I could borrow an expression from Frozen, the Lord says, let it go. Let it go. Take my yoke upon you, custom made for you. I'm not going to give you something that is too hard. I'm not going to give you something that is too difficult. I'm not going to give you something that is undoable. Most of us will admit that those who've gone before us in the ages of church history have had to endure far more in terms of conveniences and things that make life more comfortable, far more things than we've had to endure. Does it mean that some of our situations are less difficult? But we're not there alone. It is not just that the Lord is speaking from heaven, talking about his relationship with us and the presence that we enjoy with him, but the presence of each other come into our lives and make our lives rich. My load is light. My load, I want, yes, there's a load to bear, but I want the load to be pleasant because I'm pulling with you. All we can do today is make such an appeal like he did. Although the appeal would have been wonderful to have heard directly from him. Imagine being in an audience where the Son of God in flesh is saying, you come to me. I know you're weary. I know you're heavy laden. I know you have burdens. Give them to me. I will rest you. Will you come to him today? Some to obey him for the first time by being baptized into him. For the rest of us who may need to start over again, will you come today and let us pray with you and for you that you really are in Christ and enjoy the relationship of his presence and the power that goes with it all through the course of life till we take our last breath. Will you come to him as we stand and sing?
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus fall up tenderly upon you. Sweet his cry of love and pity, call up, turn and listen, stay and hear. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon me.